In 2018, Americans spent $3.65 trillion on health care. $3.65 billion of it went for end-of-life care. Upstate Medical University professor Greg Eastwood says that's a lot of money.
The real question that we should ask, and we should ask it of not only the last year of life, but of everything we spend money on in terms of health care, are we getting our money's worth? What are we spending it on? Is it of value to us?
Eastwood, a professor of bioethics, humanities, and medicine at Upstate, has written a book, Finishing Our Story, Preparing for the End of Life, that looks at the planning for death. Eastwood says money is often a secondary consideration for a family dealing with the imminent death of a loved one.
I would say the primary consideration are the wishes of the patient. And the wishes of the patient very often are expressed by the family because the patient can't speak.
But things get more complicated in this day and age, according to Eastwood, because of the evolution of medicine.
We did not have the ability to intubate people and put them on a ventilator, give them potent drugs to stimulate their heart and keep their blood pressure going and so on. And what happens now is that so often people come into hospital and they receive the, what I call the gadgetry, and then they get into an almost irreversible position of being very sick, usually no longer able to conduct their own affairs, to make decisions for themselves, so someone else has to. And then the question is, how long are we going to do this?
Eastwood says because of the premium this culture puts on the wishes of a dying person, the best way to deal with it is to talk about it early on. He urges people to legally appoint someone to represent their wishes at the end of life. In New York State, for example, that means appointing a healthcare proxy.
Having discussions when you're well, and maybe when you're 25 years old. Certainly when you're in midlife, having discussions with someone you trust, often it's a spouse, but may not be, about what your values are. What does quality of life mean to you? And envisioning several scenarios where maybe you would say, I don't want to live longer like this.
Those discussions could also include thoughts on hospice or palliative care. Eastwood says those less expensive options are on the table more and more now.
The trend had been because of all the machinery and the gadgetry and the care that's available is mostly in hospitals. So that's why people predominantly died there. And then there's this realization that, well, maybe that's not the best place to die. And so there's a movement now to try to orchestrate things and try to get people who are dying to be at home.
But that initial question of whether end-of-life care is worth it may never be answered.
If we can save, let's say, several billion dollars at the end of life, can we then apply that to vaccinations for kids or better health care for people who don't have good health care? You know, it's a fundamental argument that gets repeated a lot, but unfortunately not resolved.
I'm Ellen Abbott for Take Care.